Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
Look at that. We got it. Drew, awesome.
Just in the nick of time.
Around, was he? Man, no joke. 3:30 comes early around here. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Ruzdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, the Friday edition. We are trying to make today make sense. Trying.
And I'm Amy Scott. It is Happy Hour Friday, which is also known as Economics on Tap. The live stream is up and running, thank goodness. And thanks to everybody who's joining us on YouTube.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. So we'll do it the standard way we do it Fridays. We'll do a little news. We'll share what we're drinking, maybe in reverse order of that. And then we'll do half full, half empty. I think it's Drew in today. I don't know that Liana's on the board today. Drew Jostat, the silent heartthrob of Marketplace, is back. Amy, I'm happy to see you got your closet all dressed up. That's awesome.
Yeah. You can see this is a moving blanket in the background. It absorbs the sound. It's a good thing it's spring and nobody needs to reach in here for their coats anymore, because that was a problem.
Yes. What are you drinking?
I've just got some bourbon and soda. But I do have a I have a Death Star-shaped ice cube in honor of George Lucas's birthday today. So happy birthday.
Oh, is today George Lucas's birthday? Oh,
apparently, nice. Yeah. I learned that on Twitter. I'm not as much of a nerd as this may suggest, but yes, happy birthday.
Good. What I love is how apologetic you were. It's like just bourbon. And I'm like, Molly comes in here with just, I got tequila. That's all I got. I got tequila. So, you know, it's all good. It's all good.
It's my simple drink. How about you? What are you drinking? What's on tap?
I'm doing my standard beer. I've got a Browery West Dig My Earth Hazy Double IPA. Quite nice. Quite refreshing. The first of what I anticipate will be several this afternoon. Just, you know, because. Okay, let's dig into the news. I want to save yours because I saw yours earlier, and I think it's just amazing. So let me blow through mine. And again, it's like 0.75 a piece. Neither of them are a full story, and I'll do the easy one first. So DarkSide, the hacker that hit Colonial Pipeline last weekend, I read in the Wall Street Journal today, is disbanding. It's shutting down, which I find fascinating for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's like a company going out of business. They did what they meant to do, and they're done. But also, apparently, the Journal reports, these kinds of I was going to call it a company, but these groups like do this all the time, right? They make their hit, the press gets really hot, and authorities are looking at them, and they just kind of disband and go away, which makes the problem like 47,000 times more difficult to find the guys who did this, or the women, frankly, who could, who knows. And I think that's really just a sign of the struggle and challenges that we face. You know, I just think
right, because they disband and then they pop up somewhere else, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, they're not going away, right? They're coming back in some different guise. Item number two, and Megan McCarty-Carino talked about this on Marketplace this afternoon. But this whole mask mandate thing and the decision yesterday by the CDC, while yay, I'm all in favor of it, is causing all kinds of stress and concern at the local level. And when I say local, I mean like businesses on the retail level. Like Trader Joe's has said it's not going to require masks anymore. Walmart is apparently going to stop requiring masks, but other companies are. And what we have now, again, is that thing we were in the beginning of this pandemic where like some clerk making $16 an hour is in charge of enforcing mask policy for the company with what are going to be really irate customers who will legitimately say, oh, the CDC said I don't have to do this anymore. But the company does, and the company is allowed to do that. And some poor person who's on an hourly wage is like, I just wear the mask, man. You know, and it's a little challenging. And I think it would have been nicer had the CDC said, look, in 2 weeks, we're going to make this policy move. I don't know, or something. Of course, maybe that's not realistic. Maybe everybody would have just gone, oh, come on, do it now. So I don't know.
Yeah. And it raises, again, the question we talked about yesterday, which is like, do we bring the kids to the store? You know, when they're not, when people aren't masked, how do you know who's vaccinated and who's not? You know, so there's a there's a class of citizens who are unvaccinated and will be for the foreseeable future who are just like, what do I do now? How do we trust the system? Yeah.
So not to put you on the spot, but we talked about this yesterday. What are you going to do with your kid?
You know, we talked about that this morning. I think we're going to keep doing what we do. They're going to wear masks inside. Outside, I'm less worried about it. And probably I'm not going to take them to these public venues where there are a lot of unmasked people and you have no idea who's vaccinated and who's not.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's another thing, by the way. The whole honor system part of this, while in theory it should work, it won't because people are jerks. And that's kind of too bad, you know?
Yeah. Not everyone.
Anyway, not everybody's a jerk. No, I didn't mean everybody was a jerk. A lot of people are jerks.
No, I know, I know. We got to count on the non-jerks outweighing the jerks.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. So let's get to yours. I just think this is such an amazing story. I think it's so interesting.
I do too. Okay. So BuzzFeed found President Joe Biden's Venmo account. And at first glance, I'm like, okay, so now they can pay him some money. I mean, what's the problem? But but it's a big privacy issue for everyone, a national security issue when it's the president. But so basically the president had mentioned, you know, casually in The New York Times that he'd Venmoed his grandchildren. And so this had folks at BuzzFeed thinking, well, maybe we can find his account. They found it in less than 10 minutes. And along with that, they found nearly a dozen Biden family members and then kind of mapped out this web of the president's children, grandchildren, senior White House officials, and all of their contacts on the app, because you can't hide your friends. Whoever you're friends with on Venmo is public information. And so, you know, Venmo's been, which is owned by PayPal, has been, you know, under the spotlight for a while for making its transactions public by default. So if you sign up and you're not aware of this, like everyone you're on the network gets to see who you've paid. So like if you're paying your therapist, for example, you know, oh, my friend just paid their therapist. Right. Or, you know, maybe it's innocuous things like pizza, but I don't really need to know who my friends are paying.
No.
But
nor do I want to, right?
Yeah. Right. So I turned that off as soon as I realized it. But you can't make your list of friends private. There's no way to turn off that setting. And so, you know, when you think about the privacy implications, maybe that therapist, for example, has every client on their friend list and people could find out who they're seeing, who they're working with. Or survivors of domestic violence might have an abuser who uses their social connections to try to track them. So you can think about all the implications. You know, for the president of the United States, he quickly, of course, shut down his friends. He just unfriended them, apparently. But, you know, it makes the rest of us kind of wonder, how could this information be used and what can we do about it?
Totally. And I'm not one for oh, my God, you know, I have no privacy online. But every now and then, stories like this give me the heebie-jeebies because it's a thing you hadn't even thought of. And you're just like, ew, really? Do we have to? I don't even know. I don't even know.
Yeah.
And then honestly, just to be completely honest, the idea that Joe Biden or whoever's minding the store for him cyber-wise, right? Because it's not like he's sitting down there on his iPhone Venmoing his grandchildren, or maybe he is, I don't know. Whoever's minding the store for him really blew it. Really blew it. Right?
Yeah.
You don't get to be
the ordinary guy
when you're the president. Right, right, right. I mean, they gave Obama like a special iPad or something for the PDB. So anyway,
I think it was kind of funny that he had less than 10 friends on there. So, says nothing about his popularity.
He's a 78-year-old guy who, you know, whatever. Yeah. And look, he's been around a long time. And I'm sure, you know, Chuck Grassley would be in his Venmo if he and Chuck Grassley still went out to get a drink after work or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Kai, you're not friends with me on Venmo. I'm totally friending you on Venmo, so you can pay me.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I actually just started up my Venmo. Very long story about my wife my wife managing all of the money in our family, and I have no clue as to
I've Venmo heard that. Reason. I need
but
one
anyway.
Of those.
Or it's
all right, so what's
you?
Next?
It's such a lifesaver. All right, so what's next? Here's what we're going to do. We are going to do a little bit of please, please, please help us out because, number one, we need to, and number two, we need to. I got a package this afternoon from FedEx, which is sitting inside the front door, and I haven't opened it up, but it is a brand new Marketplace tote bag. And the tote bag is, of course, for fundraising season. I think it's a little on the nose for a public radio fundraising thing, but that's just me. Nobody asked.
It's cool, though. It's got like a leather handle or something.
I know. It's supposed to be really nice, and I'll know as soon as I open it up. No, it's not. Canvas material, leather straps. Take it to the beach, take it to the farmer's market, wherever you want. Tony's going to post a link to it, by the way, in the comments. But if you're just listening, you can see it at marketplace.org/givesmart, which is the link also to give. But here's the deal. Number one, this is not your average public radio tote bag. It was designed for us by a Make Me Smart fan named Audie Norman. He has done drawings of me and Molly. If you saw the one of Molly driving a motorcycle with me in the sidecar looking mildly terrified, that was it. That was Audie. It's kind of cool. You should check it out.
It's really,
Marketplace.org/givesmart. Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And Audie's super talented, actually. And I should hire him to do some like personal things for my family or whatever. But anyway, marketplace.org/givesmart. There is a link in the show notes. And here's the bottom line. I make fun of fundraising a lot. And Stephanie Patterson, if you're listening to this, I'm really sorry for doing that. But we could not do this show without you. Me and Molly and Amy and Kimberly and Andy Euler and Megan McCarty-Carino and Meryl Segarra, who sit in on this pod every now and then. And in point of fact, everybody at Marketplace we literally would not have our jobs if it wasn't for all y'all. So just know that and know that we know it. And if you can, help us out. Marketplace.org/givesmart or there's a link in the show notes. And there you go.
And we have the best listeners.
We do. We totally do.
I love our listeners.
Totally. Also, I got very serious there for some stupid reason. But Drew Drostad is going to save me from that.
Yeah. Oh, God.
All right. So half full, half empty. We give our predictions on whatever Drew the Secret Heartthrob of Marketplace tells us. Amy, I think this is your first time in the barrel, so...
I know nothing. I'm terribly nervous about making predictions.
That's the bottom line. You can say whatever you want. So, Drew, hit us up with number one, would you?
Are you half full or half empty on summer camps?
Oh, so I did an interview this week with Mr. Nissen, whose first name I have forgotten. He runs Friendly Pines in Prescott, Arizona. He's retiring this year after 40-something years with the camp, but they're back in action. They're back in action because, number one, they have to be for business, but number two, they can be now after last year taking it off. I am half full on summer camps. I think kids need to just get the hell out and run around. Full stop.
And parents
that's
need them to be somewhere.
Yes. Yeah. Somewhere that's not
put
in
a plug for the parents.
Yeah.
I'm totally half full. Our kids are going to camp. Can't wait. They're going to be masked, as we discussed earlier, probably most of the time, except in the pool, because they need to learn to swim. Yeah. I mean, my kids lost a year of swim lessons. That's a safety issue.
Right?
Yeah. So I'm
totally
half full for sure.
Excellent. For sure. Drew, hit it.
How about the vaccine perks?
What are vaccine perks?
Like when like the governor of Ohio's giving out he's doing the lotteries for the vaccinated we got perks from beer to baseball tickets from local
beer governments. To baseball tickets to a pound of crawfish in Louisiana was said Mike DeWine, the governor of Ohio, is going to give away $1 million every week to somebody who's been vaccinated. You know, so here's the deal. I think I'm half full, but I don't know, because incentives are funny, and if you skew incentives, then weird things happen. So can I do like quarter full? That's what I'm doing. I'm doing quarter full.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. I mean, I'd like to think we don't need to bribe people. But on the other hand,
yeah.
you know, we want to reopen. We want to go. I'm pro yeah. vaccine. I'm just going to say it. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, whatever it takes to get people to get the shot.
Fair
I'm
enough.
I'm in.
Fair enough. Yep. I think the default okay. ought to be pro vaccine, by the way, just for the record. Anyway, go ahead.
We have a program of affordable broadband subsidies.
Yeah, we do. And I saw that go by somewhere. The FCC or whoever's in charge of that, I think it's the FCC, is making it. Look, everybody needs broadband. It's a utility. I've said that on the record. I think it ought to be regulated like a utility and it ought to be provided like a utility. It must have. If we've learned anything in this pandemic, got to have broadband.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. We've got people parking in library parking lots to work. Yeah.
Yeah.
Access. Yeah. So this is a very, so far we're pretty half full, so.
We're very full today. We are very full today. Yeah. Very interesting. All right.
We're okay. also just Drew? Very in agreement with each other.
Well, let's put you that know, to an end. God.
Yeah, right. I'm sure there's something Kai and I disagree about. Let's we go way
is
back,
it,
by the way.
Is it QR codes?
Oh, is that
How
the next
feeling
one?
About QR codes is the next one.
Oh, God. I missed this one.
Why do you?
What are we? What about
why do you hate QR
I know.
Codes? So here's the deal. So Scott Tong did a story for Marketplace yes. this week about QR codes and how they are becoming more of a thing in the pandemic because initially it was a way to be contactless with a bunch of transactions. I did a QR code thing on a bike rental place in Tahoe. Scott's story was about QR codes at a restaurant for menus. I mean, we've all seen them. I think generally it's fine. It's convenient. I have no problem with them. I'm half full. Yeah.
Did I miss some kind of risk or downside with this? Because I agree. Yeah, I mean, we were at the airport recently. Yeah. Used it to order food at multiple places so that I could be with the kids while my husband went around picking up the food. And you know, it was pretty convenient. I don't see why we don't do it. But I feel like I must be missing. What's the privacy hook? Right.
I don't know. You know what? Sorry, I'm just glancing at the YouTube comments. Everybody's full.
Oh yeah. Right. Hi everybody. I can't see the comments.
Half
so.
Full. Oh, you got to fire up the YouTube. That's the thing. This is a two screen operation on Friday afternoons. All right. Well, downside is you need a phone. Jeffrey Lee says, which everybody has. Stephanie Hoffman. QR code is great for menus. Not so much for other stuff. Yeah. No. I'm full.
You know, I just learned because I'm this kind of person. I just learned that you can just use your camera to get the QR code. I thought you needed an app. So, you know,
Amy, join the 21st
There are accessibility century. Issues for people like me.
For people like me. Fair enough.
Well, if I remember right, at the end of that story, Scott hung out at a QR code for a hotel and nobody scanned it for an hour.
Well, that's right.
Oh,
He stood there
Scott
waiting.
Scott is such a good reporter. I need to hear that story.
Right. And that's where I came out of it. I was like, wow, an hour waiting for people to scan the QR code and nobody did? That's dedication right there to the
anything for
cause.
A story.
It was just at a construction site.
Yeah.
Oh, right. You know what? I think I was making dinner during this story. Sort of in and out. I'm a listener, too.
As is the story of everybody's Marketplace life. I was making dinner. I heard a little bit of it and, you know, whatever.
Oh, yeah, right.
All right, Drew, one more, two more? What do we got?
Okay, the malls comeback? Malls making a comeback?
There's got to be something in my wheelhouse, Drew. Come on.
Look, little known fact, Drew's not in charge. He's just the talent,
I just read
as
this
you
list.
And I are.
Yeah. So malls are making a comeback? You mean as schools and senior living centers and business, you know, office parks? How are malls making a comeback?
I don't even know. I don't know.
Okay, well, Simon Property Group is betting on a retail comeback and possibly adjusting lease rates to incentivize people to open
a
store.
I'm half empty on this. I'm half empty on this.
Marissa gave me a link to click this time. I'm super prepared.
No, that's awesome. That's
you're more
really,
prepared than I am. Yeah, but I'm struggling to buy it. I mean, the death spiral of the mall has been in the making for a long, long time. I mean, traffic may pick up a little bit, but it's drive around
half empty. Drive around. Yeah. Look at those.
Finally, we're half empty
for sure,
and we're also in agreement.
There you go. Yeah, well, that's all right. That's all right. You and I have common sense. That's all. We got one more. I guess we're done. I guess we're done. That's Drew Joss. That's a very polite way of telling us to shut up and move on with the program.
It's very polite. I need right. one of those.
That's right. That's right. All right. So we are done. It's Friday afternoon. All y'all ought to go do something fun. I'm back Monday with Molly. Next week, though, here's what we're going to do on Tuesday. We're going to take on the inflation debate. How worried ought we be? What's the big hullabaloo? What's the worst that can happen? Why is Larry Summers still talking about inflation? And what does Jay Powell have to say? We'll talk about all that stuff. Send us your questions, comments, makemesmart@marketplace.org. A very large shout out here to one Amy Scott for hooking us up on a Thursday and a Friday afternoon, jumping in. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
You betcha. You betcha. All right, there we go. There we go.
I'm Marissa about a quarter
Cabrera
full now.
Is in charge of, I know, right? There you go. Marissa Cabrera is in charge of this podcast on a daily basis. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Stephen Bion is our video producer. Also, our show's social media intern is Emily McCune. Erica Phillips writes our newsletters, also our Make Me Smart explainers.
Today's program was engineered by the fabulous Drew Jostad. Ben Talladay and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Donna Tam is the senior producer. And the executive director of On Demand is Sitara Nieves.
You know what's funny? I always pronounce Drew Jostad as with a T, but it's not really it. It's a D. Drew Jostad.
Jostad? Well, I'm Jostad. Lazy.
Well, you said it the right way. I've said it the wrong way.
Huh. Drew has been in my house. He set me up in Denver, so we go back.
Oh, wow. Well, he's from there, you know? I like up there in Colorado someplace.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.